Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go, man.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Tonight, round one of the NFL draft from Philadelphia. We'll have coverage right here on CBS Sports Radio. Gio and Jones will anchor our coverage. And then where else would you rather be except right here tomorrow for our full reaction to round one? Chris Sims is going to join us to break down the first 32 picks of the NFL draft. Browns are obviously on the clock. Question becomes, do they take Myles Garrett one and then try to find their quarterback later on? They have the number 12 pick in the draft as well. Or do they do something else, like try to trade out of that pick? Or do they take Mitch Trubisky, number one overall, and then use their number 12 pick on a guy like Derek Barnett or somebody else that could be a pass rusher? Do they draft Myles Garrett and then move up from 12 to go grab Mitch Trubisky? There's a lot of questions there. And then on top of it, you've got the Jimmy Garoppolo question. Do they try to use a bunch of picks to trade for Garoppolo from the Patriots? Who knows if the Patriots are willing to part with Garoppolo? Here's what I assume, that there's a price for everybody. And for the Patriots, people say, why would you get rid of him? Why would you get rid of him? He's the heir apparent to Tom Brady. They really like him. He's smart. He's developed. He knows the offense. He played well in his brief gameplay last year. Here's what I would say, knowing that franchise the way that I do, having worked in Boston and 98.5 the Sports Hub and covering the Patriots on a regular basis, being inside that building regularly. Everybody's for sale. There is nobody on that roster Bill Belichick does not listen to offers for and have a value with. Him and Ernie Adams and the rest of the brain trust have a value of every player on the roster. And that's why when a guy gets a little older, or a guy gets a little too expensive, or a guy becomes less useful, they cut bait, they trade him, they release him, they move on, they draft his replacement, whatever it is. That's what they've done for years, and that will be what they do for years. That will never be different. So, when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, don't fall into the trap of anybody that says they're not parting with him, they won't part with him. He's too valuable. If you gave them their price, they will trade Jimmy Garoppolo. If you gave them their price, Bill Belichick would sell his grandmother for two number ones and two number twos. Hell, if he can move up in the fifth round, he might trade his grandma. So let's assume Garoppolo is available for some price. What's the better play for the Browns? I believe the best play is avoiding Garoppolo because, A, you want to use all of those high-end draft picks to flesh out the entire roster. You're not a quarterback away from anything. You might be a quarterback away from not going 1-15 again, but you're not a quarterback away from the playoffs. You're not the quarterback away from a division championship. You're not a quarterback away from a Super Bowl. So you need a lot of pieces. And part of the Browns' problems for years has been drafting a quarterback, making him the savior, and having a crap slop roster around him, and then that guy getting driven into the ground mentally and physically. So if you're the Browns, bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo didn't solve all your problems. And you're trading away multiple high-end draft picks. And on top of it, you've got to pay him a lot of money. You don't get him on a rookie deal. You then have to spend money on him like he's a veteran. So all of that tells me, stay with your draft picks, draft your guys. Don't go crazy today. Don't think you have to get a quarterback in round one. Don't think you have to take a quarterback if he's there at number 12. Don't reach for a guy you're not truly in love with. Look at Dak Prescott. Look at Russell Wilson. If you do your homework well enough, look at Derek Carr. You don't have to reach for your guy in the first round. If I'm the Browns, this is what I'm doing. I don't love Mitch Trubisky, okay? If I'm the Browns, number one is Myles Garrett. I don't even think about it. Garrett's my pick. I'm not utilizing collateral to move up to 5 to get Trubisky because I don't love Trubisky. I'm waiting at 12. If Trubisky falls to me at 12, I'm assuming Deshaun Watson's also there at 12. I would take Deshaun Watson. I love his makeup. I love his wheels. I love his arm. I love his big game factor. I love his leadership. I love everything about him. I realize he's not a perfect prospect, and so that's why I'm not taking Deshaun Watson number one. But I'm not reaching. I'm not trading a bundle of draft picks to reach for a guy because that never usually ends up being what's best for your franchise. But I would take Garoppolo out of it, and I would say, if you're the Browns and you walk out of this today with a franchise cornerstone draft pick at defensive end, and then also the guy that you trust to be your quarterback moving forward, hey, you had a hell of a draft. It doesn't matter what you do in 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. But make sure the quarterback that you take is ready mentally to be seen as the savior. You do everything in your power not to make him the savior, but you have to have a guy that is going to be able to handle expectations, leadership, composure, the media, the city, frustration, losing. You don't want a guy used to losing, but you want a guy that knows how to handle losing. Because Troy Aikman went 1-15 his first year. Peyton Manning went 3-13 his first year. It is not a guarantee that they will be anything better than 2-14 this season, even if they have the right quarterback. That's as important as anything. Guys that they've drafted have not been ready for that. Johnny Manziel was not ready for that. Brandon Whedon, not ready for that.
Brandon Whedon's a bum.
I mean, Whedon was also a bad quarterback. Brady Quinn has come on this show and admitted he wasn't ready for that. He wasn't ready for everybody to look at him and say, why aren't we winning? When he said the rest of the roster wasn't very good to begin with. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Andrews in Syracuse listening on The Score 1260. Good morning, Andrew. What's going on?
Hey, DA. Happy football fan Thanksgiving to you.
Back at you, buddy. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my phone call. Do you beam up during the day?
Absolutely, if you need it.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Well, you know, a lot of casual sports fans and non-diehard football fans think that guys like me are geeks for being so into the NFL draft. And, you know, they might be right. But in our defense, this day, this event, just might be the single greatest sports-related event on the calendar, because for those of us who love football, it's the culmination of everything about the sport. From the player's perspective, it's everything they've done in high school, the college competition that we all watched, and this is their athletic commencement ceremony, if you will. And then as a football fan, if you get into the evaluations, you're looking at how teams build their rosters. You start learning about the various schemes that particular teams run. You learn about the attributes that scouts look for a successful player, for players at specific positions, and then filling specific roles within schemes. And then you learn the differences between the schemes. It's fascinating when you get into it.
Well, I think that's why football has a certain grip on us, because there's enough strategy in it to where we feel like we have the next layer of understanding. I think that's why it's a little bit tough for some general fans to totally embrace basketball the same way we embrace football. Basketball is up-tempo, it's high octane, it's a lot of scoring. But if you asked a normal fan, okay, what play should they run out of the timeout? Nobody knows. If you said, okay, define for me the high pick and roll, who knows? But if you ask somebody, okay, should they run or pass here? What type of offense should they run? Should they add a wide receiver? Should they go single back backfield? Should they play a zone defense? Most people have some type of concept, especially if they want to break it down. There's just that next layer of chess move that in football people really gravitate to. Coaches versus coaches. What play, what scheme, what implementation can beat the other guy's same implementation? And so, yeah, the draft in that way is the next piece of chess, because you get to choose your chess pieces. Again, in the NBA draft, does anybody ever go, well, they can't take such and such at that spot because it doesn't fit the offense? Doesn't fit what they try to do? No. It's always just get the best player. What's the best player? Grab the best player. Put the best player in. We'll figure it out. And in football, there's much more of needs, position-based, scheme-based, offense or defense-based, coaching philosophy, culture, all those types of things. So I totally get why the draft is a big deal. And look, the draft became a big deal, and football simultaneously became even crazier for a very important reason. Fantasy football. We all became general managers. I started playing fantasy football when I was in college, probably 98. So you're talking about 20 years. For me and most people, they've been their own NFL general manager. Well, guess what? The NFL draft has become a big deal because we are now conditioned into selecting our players, selecting the guys that make up our team. And then our team is selecting players to fit our team. On top of it, college football became bigger and bigger, so that more fans now are more, I think, in tune with the players coming out of college, because of the incredible wealth of information and video we have because of the internet, and because of the incredible amount of games we can watch. Now you can go and scout every guy that you could ever want to draft or your team would ever think about drafting. So the NFL draft has taken off because we became a different culture of fans. We're not just sitting back watching the draft like, oh, who's that guy? We can now figure out exactly who that guy is, and we're more interactive with our teams and with what that whole process is about, because we like to pick our own teams. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Shane tweets, DA, Nomad clips in place of canned MIDI techno music during the breaks in the webcast. This is brilliant. Let me tell you something, boys and girls. Web producer Chris Venezia might win a daytime Emmy this year for this move today. He took this week's Nomad episode, which is me and Mraz housing In-N-Out Burger, which was delicious.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
And instead of a bland slate saying, we'll be back next, we'll be back next on the webcast, it's running that footage over and over, and it is a beautiful thing. It has taken the webcast to the next level, and now it's a full-bodied virtual experience. I highly encourage you to check it out by going to watchda.com. Speaking of which, coming up next, after last night, is the series over between the Celtics and the Bulls, or is this just camouflaging the real problems of Boston in the next round and beyond? Plus, Mraz and I will grade out why In-N-Out Burger has such magic. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Deep Purple and Alice Cooper, two of rock's most iconic bands, are joining forces this summer to put on a show you won't forget. Be there in person to experience all their hits, like Deep Purple's Smoke on the Water and Alice Cooper's School's Out. Get your tickets now at LiveNation.com and prepare to rock. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Xanadu tweets, DA, your draft advice for the Browns was perfect, but I'm expecting them to use your advice to do the exact opposite.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed, he's a bum.
I got to feel like they're starting to put together a plan, but every time I feel like the Browns are starting to turn the corner, I realize they didn't do it. And they're just waiting to set us all up for failure again, which is so weird because I'm not a Browns fan. I just have such empathy for Browns fans. A tortured fan base that just continues to step on the rake and have it smack them dab in the face. Mark tweets, DA, if the surrounding cast plays well around Isaiah Thomas, the Celtics are going to the finals. I wholeheartedly disagree. I don't think it matters how the Celtics supporting cast plays around Isaiah Thomas. What matters is our plan. No, what matters is the Cleveland Cavaliers and how they play. When it comes to the Cavaliers or the Celtics, this is not about how well the Celtics play if they get to the Eastern Finals. It's about, did they run into LeBron healthy and a Cavaliers team playing well? Because if so, they will be dismantled. And it will not be close. Okay? And that's just the end of the discussion. If you get Cavaliers peak, you are going to get rolled over if you're the Celtics. The Cavaliers would never lose their first two home games against the Bulls in the playoffs. Ever.
What matters is our plan.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
It doesn't matter what the Celtics roster is. What matters is the Cavs.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Oh, my God, it's Bane.
Is our plan.
Oh, my God, it's British Bane.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Oh, no, he's coming for Gotham. Hide the women, hide the children. Where's Batman in the Justice League when you need him? Uh-oh, Bane is coming, and he looks exactly like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon character.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Just go to the movies once, Pete. Once.
Update anchor Peter Schwartz during our overnight days, trying to do his best Bane impersonation, having clearly never seen a Batman or a Bane. Let's never ask Pete to do the Riddler. Let's never ask him to do the Penguin. Catwoman, out. No. Sorry, Pete. You don't get another shot at it. Oh, my God! Here comes Bane! And he looks like Grimace from McDonald's!
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
And there he is with his friends, the Fry Guys and Birdie. So, I don't think that the Celtics are going to lose this series, even if Rondo comes back in Game 6. I think maybe they get a bump in Game 6 and they push it to a Game 7, the Bulls do, but ultimately it's not enough and they'll lose in Game 7 at TD Garden for Boston. The Celtics will move on. Who knows who they get? I think that they'll get the Wizards. Every game in that series has been the home team has won. If we carry that out, it's Wizards in 7. I don't know what Wizards team shows up. If the good Wizards team shows up and actually seems committed to defense, John Wall has been fantastic in almost every game. I mean, last night, again, his explosion is outrageous. I don't know how the Celtics are going to keep up with that, but a John Wall versus Isaiah Thomas or a John Wall-Bradley Beal versus Isaiah Thomas matchup should be pretty good. I'm not suggesting that the Wizards can't knock them off. I think they can, but if we say that the Celtics do get past them and that they meet up with the Cavaliers in the Eastern Finals, it's all about the Cavaliers. If the Cavaliers want to play like dog poop, okay, fine. The Celtics might have a chance. If they want to show up and play and LeBron does what LeBron wants to do, they're going to get dismantled in 4 or 5. Now, for those of you that don't know, maybe new to the show, I also have a web series that I put together on a weekly basis called Nomad, which is Damon backwards, my name backwards. And it's usually basically me traveling to go to places to eat stuff, to drink stuff, and to see sporting events. And so when we were at the Final Four, Mraz and I decided we had to get In-N-Out Burger into the trip. There are no In-N-Out Burgers anywhere near New York. I don't know where the nearest one would be. I mean, maybe Texas? Maybe we got to drive to Dallas or something?
Probably.
So we said we got to get one in Phoenix. Have to. You woke up that day, I think, slightly hungover and or physically ill.
Yes, because I got sick 2 days later. I think I didn't realize I was sick, but I was sick.
You jumped into a pool on like a 55-degree day.
Yeah, throat was closing up the whole deal. And I woke up all of a sudden not wanting an In-N-Out Burger.
And then you also, didn't you make like 2 fast food trips in 1 day on the day where your throat was closing up? Didn't we hit a Jack-in-the-Box late?
Yes, but that was at about 3 a.m., so I'm not sure if that counts. That was during sleeping hours.
I see. Okay, that does not count in terms of food that you put in your body.
Because it wasn't one of your 3 basic meals.
Okay, all right.
Right off.
So we wake up on the final day, maybe? No, maybe the Saturday. It was the Saturday of the Final Four. You're going to leave Sunday morning. I'm there until Sunday night, so I could have gotten it in Sunday, but I said, we got to go to In-N-Out. And if you are an East Coaster or you are a Midwesterner and you don't have In-N-Out Burger around you, you develop your whole trip itinerary around this. You're like, we got to go. If you go to the one in Vegas, that line is around the block and around the drive-through for like 2 miles. If you are leaving town in a Western city that has In-N-Out, you got to get it in before you go to the airport. So we got it in. And it was obviously delicious, but what the episode tried to break down was what makes it so magical. Would you say it was the quality of the food, Mraz, that makes In-N-Out so special, that's given it this cult following?
I think the quality of food is part of it, because oftentimes when you eat fast food like this, burger, fries, shake, you inevitably get a stomach ache because you're eating a giant bag of grease and you have no care for it. But
yeah.
For whatever reason, when you have In-N-Out Burger, as terrible as it is for you, I'm sure, you don't walk away basically feeling like you need to hit the treadmill for 7 hours after.
There is something, that's very light about it, despite being a hamburger and fries.
Right. Oftentimes I have fast food. My second chin will droop from my neck all the way down to my belly button.
Real gobbler.
And it'll wobble around like that all day. Doesn't feel that way after In-N-Out. I still got a tight chin.
Got that gobbler just swinging in the wind.
That's it. A gizzard.
I know. And there is that part of it. But what we tapped into was, I think, something a little deeper. And that was, it's a very bright and airy space. And everybody in there is so cheerful. And it's so clean. And it's so simple that there's a little nostalgia in there. But it's way different than going to a fast food restaurant, let's say around here, where every worker in there is miserable. They hate their boss. They hate the deep fryer. It's dark. It's usually kind of like there's like a moppy smell because they just mopped the floor. And you just like associate that and you go, oh, I don't even want to be here. We went to In-N-Out and everybody is just laughing and joking. It was like being at Disneyland.
It was totally a Disney experience. Everybody's got the hats on. They're smiling. Do you want anything else with that? I go to a local fast food restaurant here on Fifth Avenue. They're yelling at me, anything else? Anything else?
Yeah.
Anything else? Yes, I'm going to be a fat slob and order $20 worth of food. I could do that in In-N-Out without the buzzkill.
So there is something cultural about this. There is something experiential about the magic of In-N-Out, which we tried to capture when we threw down. You went just single cheeseburger animal style, which I was surprised about because you weren't feeling 100%.
Yeah, but the shake in In-N-Out will drive you crazy, and I mean in a good way.
I went double meat animal style, and I never looked back. So you can check that out by going to the YouTube channel. Well, we actually posted it on Facebook today, so we can go to facebook.com/TheDAShow to see it easier right there, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Now it's apparently also running during commercial breaks of the webcast, watchda.com. When we return here on the program, a little cut line, the stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
New time slot, same great taste.
DA, what's going on, man? Loving the new time slot. Super pumped that you're bringing back Target Demo Friday. I think that's pretty awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, dedicated to helping you get back on the road fast. Their highly trained, friendly, and knowledgeable parts professionals will help you find the parts that you need to get the job done right the first time. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Remember that you can always find full episodes of The DA by going to iTunes, search DA CBS, and you will find them all there. Full episodes and easily downloadable hour by hour, so check that out. iTunes, and then also on our website, daoncbs.com. So if you ever miss anything, we got you covered.
Aw, The DA. I love The DA.
Also, the Permission Granted podcast is out, which is the show about the show, our podcast weekly, as we break down everything that's happening within the show. That's out right now, episode number 140. And then on top of that, you can watch the web stream every single day, watchda.com. Tonight is the NFL draft, and tonight we will have full coverage here on CBS Sports Radio. Gio and Jones will be anchoring our coverage, so stick around for that. And then tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, I'll be breaking down everything that I see from tonight's draft all day tomorrow morning, so that should be pretty cool. My man Don is in New York, listening on 104.9 of CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Don?
Hey, DA, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How you doing?
Recovering from that surgery. It's not going too well, but...
Oh, yeah. What happened with the surgery? What's going on? What'd you have to get worked on?
I had ended up having my other hip, you know, replaced and just not healing too well right now.
Oh, brother. So you're wobbling around, huh? You're on one leg.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
Well, best of luck rehabbing, man. I wish you the best.
Yeah, listen, thank you. And congratulations on your new time slot.
Well, thank you much, man. We're having fun.
Yeah. Hey, you know, a little bit, I heard a little bit about Mo's situation. I feel bad.
Yeah, I know. Little Mo is one of the best, so we're going to try to do what we can to help him out.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Listen, about the draft here, would the Jets really be crazy enough to take a quarterback?
Yes, because they've drafted a quarterback every year the last couple of years and have said, we will keep doing it. I think it's stupid to do so if you've drafted Christian Hackenberg in the second round last year. I think it's dopey, but they are crazy enough to do it.
Yeah, well, they haven't made out in the past too well, so I think they should have learned from their lessons already, but...
It seems like a waste, too. I mean, you can say we're going to keep drafting a quarterback until we land one, but you draft a guy in the second round, and then he never even touches the field. It doesn't make sense if you just keep wasting draft picks on him.
Well, I hope that one of the quarterbacks actually slips down so that the Giants can actually grab somebody because obviously, you know, Eli's going to be done in a couple of years, so they might as well grab somebody and start grooming them now.
Frankly, I think that it's a little early for the Giants to be grooming anybody because we now are living in a time where you've got quarterbacks playing into their 40s. I mean, look at Tom Brady and Drew Brees. I think the Giants obviously are built to win right now. They get to the divisional round or the wild card round, rather, last season. They were one of the better teams of the NFC. I think that if I'm the Giants, I'm not worried about a quarterback right now. I cross that bridge when I come to it because Eli is so durable. The guy's never missed a start in his NFL career. The Giants right now, though, need a tight end. And with a deep tight end class, watch for them to target one coming up in the first round tonight, perhaps. Speaking of the NFL draft, you know, there's been such silliness in this lead-up. There's been such silliness all over the place, which is why our conversation with Washington defensive tackle Elijah Qualls last week was so incredible. He seemed to be the only guy with sensibility in a hurricane of zaniness. He grew up in a tough part of California, disjointed home life, friends were selling drugs, and he said, "This is not what I want to do. This is not what I want to be. I can't be average." He says, "My biggest fear was just being an average person growing up. I don't care about being famous. I don't want to care about being super popular. I just want to make an impact." Qualls was the greatest conversation we had with all of the guys we interviewed, and I'm rooting for this kid. I really hope that he gets snapped up early because this guy deserves it with the type of player that he is and the type of guy that he is. But there's so many opinions and voices out there that have been so ridiculous. Warren Sapp, who's never exactly been the height of insightful, saying that Myles Garrett's going to be a bust, he shouldn't be taken number one, called him lazy, that he disappears. Then Warren Sapp compares him to not even being better than Courtney Brown, which is a guy that was drafted 17 years ago. Can we get a more contemporary reference, Warren Sapp? I mean, Sapp is just such a dolt. And do we really think that Sapp is sitting home on a Saturday watching Texas A&M Mississippi State? Also, Sapp has made some great decisions in the past. You know, soliciting a prostitute, domestic battery, bankruptcy, being fired from a million jobs. Hopefully Qualls one day is able to mentor a guy like Warren Sapp, who's young, and steer him away from being a clown. Which you could probably also say for the NFL executive that said that Joe Mixon was perhaps the best player in the draft. He's not even the best running back in the draft. With or without the footage of him punching a woman in the face, Joe Mixon wouldn't be the best running back. That's Leonard Fournette by a mile, by the way. I mean, give me a break. It's like that's an NFL executive, and of course, anonymously. Because Fournette's got the strength, the ferocity, looks like a souped-up Earl Campbell. There's no guarantees because he kind of protected himself last year. But Mixon's not in that stratosphere. Dabo Sweeney said that passing on Deshaun Watson was going to be like passing on Michael Jordan. Look, Dabo, I know he made you a lot of money. I know that you now have a lifetime pass to coach at Clemson. I know that he won you a lot of football games. But passing on Deshaun Watson is nothing like passing on Michael Jordan, because there's way more questions about Deshaun Watson. I like Watson than there was about Jordan coming out of school. Again, I like Watson a lot, but let's get real. Deshaun Kizer says he combines Tom Brady's brain with the body of Cam Newton. Okay. Reuben Foster gets into an altercation with the medical staff at the combine. Nice job. Jabril Peppers, diluted urine sample, better job. Caleb Brantley, Florida defensive tackle, just days before the draft, alleged for hitting a woman in the face and knocking her unconscious by authorities. Nice. So that's why I'm going to keep going back to Elijah Qualls, who is a cut above it all. Because the guy says, I just want to try to do the opposite of what everybody else was doing where I grew up. Elijah, you might want to do the opposite of what everybody else is doing around you in this NFL draft, because it's just been the height of silliness. You can check out my column on the height of silliness by going to daoncbs.com, also Twitter and Facebook. Time for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
What were the Hawks doing last night? The Hawks trailed by 4, 103-99, with under a minute to play. Wizards possession, they didn't foul. And then, when they got the ball back, they didn't shoot. Word to the Wizards, very difficult to come back from a 4-point deficit when you don't foul and don't shoot. It's just a very difficult game plan. You know, because the only way that you can score is by shooting. And the only way you can stop the clock from running down is by fouling. So I know these are difficult concepts to grasp. I know it's very early in the playoffs. Hopefully by the second round, if you get there, you'll be able to grasp these concepts. But it's kind of important right now, since you're on the verge of elimination. If you're down 4 with under a minute, stop the clock and don't play hot potato around the perimeter, you morons.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Speaking of silliness around the draft, how about wide receiver from Texas A&M, Kirk Merritt, as the Brian Eagle reports that he's no longer listed on the team roster. Oh, why? Well, this should be interesting. Merritt was charged with 2 counts of indecent exposure for allegedly exposing and touching himself in front of 2 different tutors at Texas A&M. Because there's no way to enhance your draft stock or your classwork or your grades like touching yourself in front of administration. Merritt had been practicing with the Aggies this spring, but not playing for the team, or did not play for the team last fall. He had been required to sit out last season after transferring from Oregon. So, quack, quack, y'all.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Hey, Teach. Quack. Oh, God. Put that away. Hey, Teach. Quack, quack. Okay. I'm calling the authorities. And the NFL is creating more jobs. You see? That's what we need in this economy stimulus package. The NFL, with Dean Blandino leaving, is now going to have two people to replace Dean Blandino because only one could never fill those enormous shoes of a guy that couldn't tell us what a catch was. The NFL has posted a new job, which sounds like the guy who will be on the eyes and face of the replay, so reports the ProFootballTalk.com website. It's a newly created VP of replay and administration who will be responsible for accuracy and consistency in all areas concerning in-game reviews and communication with the on-field officiating crew. Well, I'm sure there will be no problems with this. I'm sure it'll be very streamlined, as the NFL officiating always is, and we'll know exactly whether that was pass interference or whether that was a fumble or whether that was a catch every Sunday, every week. I have no doubts in my mind that the NFL has this squared away.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, time for your epic fail, boys and girls. This week's Permission Granted podcast, we delved into the conversation about what went right, not much, and what went wrong, a lot, about the David Duchovny interview yesterday. Duchovny, he was not very energized. Maybe he was just waking up. There's a little bit of delay with his answers. Maybe he had the publicist listening as well. And so I said, you know, we got to mix it up here because Duchovny's putting us all to sleep. I'm going to ask him about the time that I saw him in a restroom at a theater in New York City. That did not go well.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
But Duchovny also wasn't very colorful. He wasn't really jovial.
We're looking for just a little bit of personality, make it feel a little looser.
Is he an A-lister?
I think he is. The X-Files is a big deal.
I think it might be B.
Is it B? Ah, okay. You know what? You want to tell me he's
but
not...
Californication, too?
This is going nowhere fast.
Duchovny's a big deal.
He's a big deal.
If you want to tell me he's not Will Ferrell or Denzel Washington...
Right.
If that's like the...
Will Smith.
Right. If that means they're A-list, okay, I could buy in that he's a B, but he's like a B-plus list.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. He's A minus B plus.
Yes. He's not as big as those guys, but still very well known.
Imagining what my life might have been.
Here's the thing, as a producer.
He ain't David Spade.
It's not David Spade. As a producer, when I get the email for something like that, like a publicist comes around, for me it was a no-brainer. Like, oh, we can get David Duchovny on. Let's put him on.
Right.
I mean, I don't remember the bathroom incident. I have to say in all honesty.
Yeah,
but
no, I understand.
I was there.
So I kind of poked and prodded to see, okay, how much of a baseball fan are you?
Right.
Did you really love that 78 Yankees team? You know, hoping that there was some type of anecdote about him watching on a TV. And
then he gives you the, I'm away in college. I basically didn't follow the team. Well, yeah. Can we avoid the Bucky Dent situation?
Yes. I know. So... I'm like probing to see where he wants to go, and he never took any of the bait, really.
Love Pee-wee.
And then I asked him, how do you find a fraud Hollywood sports fan? He didn't really even take that bait, so that's where I had to go to the urinal question, because I said, the only thing that's going to be memorable about this entire interview is probably if he has some awkward response to me saying I saw you in a bathroom once.
Men don't talk a lot in the urinal.
Hey, listen. If your defense stuffs you a lot versus an elite defense, and you got to break out an Antoine Randall L trick play, that's what you got to do. And that's what you did.
Yeah, that was the trick play.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I also want to plead ignorance. I did not know before or during that interview that Duchovny had ever admitted to a sex addiction. I did not know that. Had I known that information that could have been brought to my attention yesterday... Perhaps I would have avoided asking him about running into him in a bathroom. Anyway, tweets coming in. George tweeting, highlights from the In-N-Out Nomad watching DA.com. During breaks, I guess I'm going to have a burger for lunch today.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
I don't blame you. I feel like one as well. Joe tweets, shout out to DA for going after the Cubs on the Eric Thames PED witch hunt. Well said. Preach. Joe is one of the producers, actually the executive producer of the Bill Michaels Show on 105.7 The Fan up in Wisconsin. And I just think it's a joke. And I got a bunch of fire coming back, a bunch of resistance from Cubs fans and Cubs apologists and whatnot. Had anybody suggested that Kyle Schwarber unnaturally came back quicker than anybody would have imagined and hit nearly 400 in the World Series because he did it artificially, or that Jake Arrieta is doing this artificially, a mid-career renaissance as one of the best pitchers in the league, Cubs fans go crazy. But members of the Cubs, both a player and a coach, can go after Eric Thames, and it's just par for the course. Well, yeah, I mean, the guy should be hitting home runs. No, that's a double standard. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Webcast director and up for a daytime Emmy, Chris Venezia. And Brad Heller on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA and the Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.